Blog Talk Radio.
Break. You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the...
So high five.
It's skipping in and out. Can you hear me talking? You hear me talking? I said, can you hear me talking coming over to the show now? Can you hear me? Nah, not working. All right, kill this.
Saying that I'm fucking on there, it wasn't coming over, I think. So, it's too late now, we can't start with that much. Text me, don't. And I know I have to put it in, I just dump it in the code, right? See what it sounds like. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another episode of YRG Radio. I want to make sure that my co-host in crime, Robert, are you on the phone, my friend?
Yep, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes, we can hear you now. Okay, guys, today is a tape show. Presently, I'm in the ATL in Atlanta.
You're skipping really badly.
Okay, well then, wait a minute, you know what? I'm on the damn speaker. How about now? Oh, wait, I'm still on the speaker. How about now? Am I on the speaker? Does it sound better?
No. Still the same.
Either better. If it doesn't, it sounds the same. I don't know what the fuck, man. This would be just using my regular fucking cell phone. And it's an iPhone. So, fuck that.
Are you near your computer?
I'm near it. I'm going to shut it.
It may be the echo from the computer.
Well, the computer's now shut. What about now?
Yeah, I'm still getting it. Yeah.
Still getting an echo.
Yeah, it's bad.
Of course it's bad. Oh, motherfucker. All right, well, I wish this thing would fucking work. How do I get this fixed? I mean, how do I figure, you know, not this, but I mean, other people don't have this fucking problem. You know, they don't do it in other locations, though, as well. Let's switch over to regular phone. I'll call you back on your phone. Let's just hang this up and kill this idea today.
All right, bro.
I'll call you back.
All right. Bye. Hey, bro. No, I'm using my computer. I don't know why yours is skipping like that. It's crazy. I mean, I put on the headphones and everything, so that killed all the sound. I don't know. I can't imagine what the issue is. It's fucking ridiculous. I mean, before, when we started screwing with this stuff, when you were on your regular phone, it sounded great. And now even that's skipping. Let me look. Yeah, so I still got it up. It is 213. Uh-huh. 325. No, it's 213. Mm-hmm. 325.
How about now? Do we have a signal or do we have a shit signal?
That sounds pretty good.
Pretty good? Okay, let's start it. Let's do it.
Hey, before we start, we've actually got somebody else over here. Is that Jimbo?
Hello, online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
You're back already, Jimbo? Okay. All right, but Jimbo, we're going to act like you just came back. We're going to take about 10 minutes before you come on. All right, so hey, we got Jimbo back. Okay?
All right.
So at some point, I'll bring you in.
Hello,
boys and girls,
man.
And welcome to another... Start again, bud.
I said it wasn't much of a story. It was nothing. Two calls. I told you Robert earlier.
Let me, Jimbo, I want to bring you in just like you left on the alarm.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you came back. So we're going to play
did
this like
hear
it's
me?
Real, all right?
Did you hear me going there with the sirens and all? I'm like, dude, I
yes,
can't call
it was
in
classic. That's why I wish we would have had it. I wish the fuck we would have been live.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
We got it. Jimbo, you got to shut up until I bring you on, okay?
Okay.
Now, if for some reason you get another call,
yeah.
Well, DDP, I just got back from that call, but now I got to go out on another one.
Yeah, you'll hear me.
Can you hear him
call?
Robert, can you hear him good? He sounds good to me.
Yeah, he sounds fine.
Okay. All right, so let me start this thing off.
Okay.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another ish... let's start again. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another episode of YRG Radio Roundtable. We're not going to have too big of a roundtable tonight because I'm still in Atlanta. And this has actually been taped. This I taped on Monday, and today you're listening to it. If you're listening to it coming over the air live, will be Tuesday. So I didn't realize I was going to do the show on Tuesday, but then I realized too late that I'm going to be in the air flying on my way back to L.A. from Atlanta. So back to Monday. Does that confuse you enough? I'm here with my cohort in crime, Robert. How you doing there, Robert?
I'm hanging in there, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better now that we finally got this. There's always a problem with the phone and me, my computer. I think I got to take my Mac in and have them hook it up for me, my Apple, I guess. It's a Pro MacBook or whatever it is. But it's funny. I was just over Steve Yu's house and watching his movie Inspired, the first cut from Inspired. And
oh, yeah.
There's a point, and there's a point there where I'm talking about Arthur. And I've got the same computer. And it's like 4 years old. And I looked at Steve. I go, God, I can't believe I still got that computer. Because yeah, normally, you know me, man. I destroy things fast. And whether it was my opponents in the ring or stuff that I buy, you know, if I don't stick it in a black hole somewhere, I'm sure as hell going to beat it up so bad. But this one is going through the ringer with me. And I think maybe my USB ports are screwed up or something. I don't know. So
yeah,
what I wanted
well, you
to
don't
do,
water on it twice.
Well, you know what? We got to put that link because what I want to do is put that after Tuesday. I want to put this up on YouTube, not YouTube, but on my Facebook, and put the links to the water so people could actually see me spilling the water on the computer. Now they won't get to see the first time because I was at I was on a movie set. Right? It was Pizza Man when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I poured it. It was iced tea, actually. And as it was dripping, I picked it up, and we air-dried it, and it got all fine. And, you know, and it worked. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's still working. But then everything got stuck on a capital, which I could have actually lived with, except for there was no more periods. So what's over a period? You're in front of a keyboard, and I'm not in front of one right now. What's in front of it? What's over top of a period?
Oh, the I don't even know what that is. The bracket, the
right, it's some kind of
arrow
sign
key.
Or something.
Yeah,
right, arrow key. So I couldn't even put periods. I had to put arrows and shit. So I bring it back to Apple, right, and I tell them I want to have this, you know, a new pad put on there. You know what they want to charge me? $1,200. So
wow.
You know, it's just like saying you're better off just buying a new one. You know, one of those deals.
Yeah.
So I come back, and I talk to my buddy Steve Yu, where this whole conversation started from, and Steve says, try pushing down these two buttons. I can't remember what was the power or the command or whatever. Push the R, the P, and restart, which totally reboots your computer. Everything was fine. Like, they couldn't have done that at Apple? That's bullshit, right? So I'm getting away from everything for what I actually – this show today is all about – this show is all about my trip to OK City and my working with the firemen. And I'm going to have Robert, since I don't have anybody on here. I did have Big Jimbo Patterson, who is a very good friend of mine, who is actually, if you're doing the YRG workout and you do below the belt, you're working out with Jimbo. Jimbo lost like, I want to say 42 or 45 pounds. I can't remember what it was. But there was a lot of reasons. That's why I wanted to have him on the show. I was also trying to get my buddy Major Danny Haig, who actually brought me to Oklahoma City. But I got tried to get in touch with him way too late, if you heard my whole rant in the beginning about which day is what and not being prepared, blah, blah, blah. I can't get a hold of Haig either. Who knows? He might call in. But we actually had Jimbo getting ready, calling in the practice, you know, just to get the sound check, and what goes off with the siren. Oh my God, I was like so pissed. I was like, God, I wish that would have come on when we were on the show, because he's actually working, and you know, because they worked 24 hours on. But I'll let him tell you all that, because hopefully he'll be able to come back on the show while we're still on it and give his, so we'll bring him up to date on what we've been talking about and get it rolling. As far as his viewpoints of being, you know, being a fireman and what this workout means to him. So I'll start it off by giving the ball right to Robert and ask me questions on, you know, what you have to ask for about how this whole fire thing came about.
Well, that's the first question. I mean, how did Danny find out about it in the first place?
You know, it's funny. Major Danny Haig wasn't even a wrestling fan. He happened to be having a lot of back pain, like a lot of the firemen do, because, you know, they're jumping up in the middle of the night sometimes and rushing to that pole, which is three stories up, some of those poles are. And they slide down. They get a lot of impact in their life. And they go from dead sleep to, right to, you know, from 0 to 60 in less than 90 seconds. Boom, they're going out the door. And, you know, being a firefighter, he's had 34 years in, and 32 of them was actually being a firefighter. Really bad back pain. His left knee, he had to have surgery on it, came back, and it wasn't healing through the therapy that they gave him. The personal, not called personal trainers. What was Canyon? What was he again?
Physical therapist.
Physical therapist, that's it. That kind of PT, a physical therapist. And it wasn't working for him, and his assistant, Robin, she saw Arthur's video and sent it over to Danny. Danny watched the video and thought, wow. He goes, my injuries pale in comparison to this guy. He thought, well, if he could do it, and he saw that amazing, you know, video of Arthur. And if anybody's listening to this who's, like, on just picking up from England or Canada, because we get people from all over the world listening to this, and you haven't seen the video of Arthur Borman, go to DiamondDallasPage.com. It's on the front page. And make sure at any point in time that if Jimbo does come back, make sure I know, Robert. So the bottom line is Danny got the program. And originally it was he found the 50-plus. He didn't even know about the YRG fitness system, but he saw the 50-plus, which is out there on the Internet. I think if you go to greatdrills.com, you can find some of the old-school stuff, or eBay. Either one of the two have the old original workouts. They're only like $20. And you only get two of them, though. I mean, that's what you get is the workout. So he wanted to see if he could do that workout that Arthur started with. And he started doing great with it. And he felt like it was something he could do. And then he went and got the whole system. And when he got the whole system, he got the five DVDs. He got the Diamond Dozen. He got all the things that educated him on how to really get the most out of his YRG workout. But he also got, you know, of course, the program guide and, you know, how setting goals. And a lot of people know how to set goals and they forget. So this sort of rebooted him again. And of course, the eating plan. And he wanted to go to a healthier eating plan. So over the next 6 months or so, he ended up losing his back pain, no more back pain, no more knee pain, and he lost 32 pounds, I believe. And he was downtown in Oklahoma City. You know, that's where the bombing was there. That was he did a tour of that. Yeah, that dude, that was just amazing. And, I mean, what those people went through, and to think that it's one of our own people that bombed that building, it was just, You know, it was it's mind-boggling and brutal at the same time. But that really pulled that community together, like, amazing. And I got to go down there and see all the sights and stuff. But he was downtown somewhere around that area, and he was climbing the stairs. And he was like, wait, Doug Stuffin on the other line, and I was going to call him. Hey, hey, Doug, I'm on the show right now. I'm taping it right now. If you want to call it, I got Jimbo Patterson going to come on pretty soon. You just want to come on and be a part at some point, hop in. So that was me just talking to Doug because I put a call into him earlier. But he was walking up the stairs of the this big building that they're building, and he looked down. There was this multi-zillion-dollar building they're building there in Oklahoma City, and he saw a bunch of guys with hard hats and the work belts, and they were doing this stretching. And he's thinking, God, before these guys start to work, they've got their guys. There's 50 of them with one guy in the middle doing, like, his stretching routine to get these guys ready for work. And he said that's when it hit him, and he realized that that's what, you know, the firefighters need to do. So what he did was he went to the chief, Keith Bryant. He's the head chief. There's 36 firehouses, fire stations, and there's, 34 fire stations, fire stations, and there's 6 district stations. And the chief, who's the head of all of those, he brought the workout to him, and he saw what it did. So then, of course, they ran through their whole wellness center program, because it's a lot of red tape to make something like this. When I talked to Jimbo earlier about this before I even went, he looked it up, and he told me that there was – he said this Oklahoma City Fire Department is almost as big as New York City. And he said that it covers 624 square miles. So the bottom line is he turned around and had to go through all the system, and then he called them up and orders going to order 40 of them. And he asked, can we get any break on this? Now, he's not calling me. He's calling the people who are in charge of the customer service for YRG. And they, of course, said, well, we don't really do that, but let me check into it. And then they got in touch with Eric Pankowski, who called me up and said, D, we got 40 fire stations that want to buy, they want to get 40 units to work at all the fire stations. I'm like, you're kidding me. He's like, yes. He goes, and they want some kind of a discount. I go, dude, give them a discount. I want that to happen because this is who I developed this for. Even though we got a lot of phenomenal stories and Terry Lang and Stacy Morris and Angela, you know, and so many, and, you know, Diane Douglas, Stacey Lawrence. I mean, there's so many people, so many women that we have these amazing stories from, that it's great that they're involved in doing YRG, but it was never developed for them. It originally was developed for the guy who beat up his body and wanted to feel, you know, as he got to retire or in his late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, that wanted to feel like they'd go out and still play golf or softball maybe or ski or whatever, not feel like they hit by a truck the next day. So what I learned, and I always knew firefighters put themselves through a lot, but until I was right there on the job with them, I was like, wow, okay, you guys really beat yourself up. So before I actually got to that point, I talked to Eric, and we agreed to give them off like, 20% is what they got off, and which is a pretty good number considering how much they were spending. But I really wanted them involved in it. And I told Eric, I said, I want to go out there and work with these guys. And they were like, okay, we'd love that, but how much is that going to cost? And then when they found out, I said, nothing. They were like, oh, yeah, bring them on. And they brought me on, and I had a hell of a time there, man. I actually got to right when I got there. Danny Hague, I mean, he is the Midwest. He's been a fireman for 34 years. Next year he's retiring. He's got 11 more months or 13 more months or something like that, and then he's got a sweet retirement. And he now feels the best he's felt in the last 20 years. which is really cool. And I got to actually stay at his house, and it's so funny because, Robert, like, you know me and how I do things. I mean, I come into some place, I just do my own thing. You know, like, I'm staying at his house. I don't expect him to cook for me or do this for me or that for me. You know, I'm going to make my own stuff. So, you know, we got home that night, and I helped him make the dinner. And, you know, the next day we got up really early and went to go meet all the different chiefs and stuff. Because the first day was just going around and meeting, you know, the head honchos. And so Monday was going to be a pretty easy day. But when we got up, you know, his wife, Tess, who lives with him, you know, she had called him and said, how was Dallas? You know, did you get him everything he needed? He goes, I didn't get him anything. He did everything himself. Matter of fact, he made breakfast for both of us. So he said to me later on that afternoon, he goes, you know, Dallas, when, you know, you see your, you know, movie star, that's a bunch of crap, we know that. But, you know, that, you know, I've been in a few movies. If you're from the Midwest, I guess I'm a movie star, you know. You know, you've been, you know, you're a movie star, you're a world champion wrestler. I thought to myself, when I'm bringing you here, going to pick you up, like, God, you know, what have I gotten myself into? You know, what if this guy's really demanding? And, you know, you hear all these stories, these horror stories, and he goes, I never expected you to be teaching me how to do stuff. I said, man, I try to be the lowest maintenance possible. And we had a really great, you know, great couple of days there. That's how it all came together. And the next 2 days, what we did was we went to 7 different fire stations, and different firemen came in from other stations that, you know, were a distance out, and they came in to hear my talk. And sometimes I'd have 40 people there. Sometimes I'd have, I don't know, I could have like as little as 20. And, you know, some of the guys who were in the fire station, they had sometimes that I can't tell you how many times the bell rang. And, you know, 6 or 8 of them were gone, just like what happened to Jimbo when he took off. But, and remind me, let me know, Robert, when he comes on. So
yeah, actually, we've got him on the line now.
Oh, no kidding. Jimbo, you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was so pissed when I hear you fine, buddy. I was so pissed when you, well, not that you had to leave, that we weren't live when you had to leave. That was so funny. I could hear the bells ringing in the background, man.
Yeah,
so,
sirens
so
going
what,
off.
What happened?
In the horn.
So tell me, before we get into how you got into this and all this stuff, and I'll get back into Oklahoma City since we got you back here, you could be leaving any second again.
Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, when you come into work, I understand that you're there for 24 hours. Tell the viewers or people who are listening, what how do you work? Give me your schedule.
You want me to break down the day?
Yeah, no, break down like a week. How do you work a week or 2 weeks? Like, I know it's on or off. Explain it to them how you work. Like, what's your schedule?
I work a 24/72, which is 1 day on, 3 days off. It works out to be like 42 hours a week compared to, you know, the regular 9-to-5 job. But it works out to be 42 hours a week. Come in the morning. Shift changes at 8 o'clock, but, you know, I'll come in around 7:15, you know, hear about what happened the next day. Maybe something broke. Maybe they had a job. You know, sit down, have coffee with the shift in front of me. Then those guys split. Then we talk about what we're going to do that day, what kind of training. Have our own coffee. Check the rigs. Check the house, and you know, go about our day. Answer calls as they come in. If no calls come in,
now, when
we'll
you
do
say
our
a call, you don't mean a phone. When you say a call, you don't mean a phone call. I mean,
right?
What,
I mean, I mean a job, a hit, you know, something, whether it be medical or fire related or just safety related. Calls today were unattended cooking, which turned out to be nothing.
What is unattended? What does unattended cooking mean?
Unattended cooking is exactly what it sounds like. The building is smoking, or the room is smoking, there's smoke. People upstairs call the fire department because they want to know why smoke's coming up into their apartment. Then we show up, and there's some woman that, you know, is trying to make bacon in her broiler, and, yeah, it's just not happening for her. So, you know, I had a similar call. I'll tell you about the bacon in the broiler. I was working a double. I worked a Saturday and a Sunday. So we show up, and on Saturday I'm on the engine. So we get there first, And these people are like, you know, you don't have a warrant. I don't have to let you in. I don't work in the greatest area. So we're like, listen, we're not cops. There's smoke coming out of your door. We're coming in. So my chief says, Jimbo, do you have the key? The key is the sledgehammer. I'm like, I got the key right here.
The key's the sledgehammer?
Yeah. He goes,
okay,
take the door. I go, sir, you might want to move your face. So he's got the chain right near his chin. Bing. I pop the chain. We go in. Unattended cooking, right? Bacon in the broiler. We evacuate all the smoke. Now I'm working a double. The next day I'm on the ladder. Ladder's a little slower. It's a bigger piece of apparatus.
When you say on the ladder, you mean on the truck with that big-ass ladder, right?
Yes, yes. I'm on the truck. I'm on the ladder.
Remember,
we're not
I have a fireman background, bro, but we're not firemen. So you could say on the ladder, but then explain what on the ladder means. So go
ahead. So on the ladder is the ladder. You know, there's a fire on a house. The ladder pulls up in front. Ladder gets the front of the building. Extend the stick to the roof. So I'm on the ladder. Now, the day before was Saturday. I was on the engine. Engine gets there quick. The next day is Sunday. I was working a double. I'm on the ladder. We pull up. I see the guys are standing outside. So I know it's not a real job. You know, it's not a working fire. And I go, let me guess, burnt bacon. And they go, holy shit, Jimbo. Oh, can I say that? They go, holy smokes, Jimbo. How'd you know that? I go, shit, she burnt yesterday. She's standing right behind me. Now, this 5-foot lady wants a piece of me. Now, I'm like 6'3", 2.5 build. I got all my gear on. She's like, oh no, he didn't. I'm going to kick his ass. So, I'm like, so now this guy, same guy yesterday that I nearly hit the chain because I had the key in my hand. He goes, my man, can I talk to you? I go, yeah, what's up, bro? He goes, you tell my wife she can't cook? I said, listen, I said nothing of the sort. But you got to understand, I was here yesterday. Did she burn the bacon yesterday? Yeah, she did. Did she burn the bacon today? Yeah, she did. Now, listen, man, I'm not saying it's operator error. Your stove might be broken, but either way, you should either get a new stove or take her ass to the diner. Now, the girl that wanted to kick my ass is like, that's right, tell me, kick my ass out. So,
oh, my God.
She went from wanting to fight me to her biggest supporter saying, yeah, take her to a restaurant.
So, Jimbo, let me ask you. Let me get back to the schedule. Because what I understood was guys work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other guys work Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And then they have off three, and then they work three. How does that work again? How does that – so or is it you
my
work
shift,
one day?
My shift where I work.
And then you get off?
Here in New Jersey, I work 24/72. So I'm working today. I'll get off at 8 in the morning tomorrow. Then I'll report for duty again 8 in the morning on Friday. And I'll work another 24. So that's 48 hours I've worked in a week. Then the following week, I'll work Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, and so on. So 1 day on, 3 days off. Hello?
Are you still there, Dallas?
I think we lost him, Robert.
I think we lost Dallas. We lost Dallas. Well, we've actually got Doug.
The Jimbo radio show.
Yeah, well, we've got Doug on the line, too. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good, Robert. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. We've got,
hey, Doug,
we've got Jimbo over there.
Hey, Jimbo, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Good. Finally, nice to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you too. You too.
Yeah, good hearing your story.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. I'm glad that Dallas got to do the thing with the Oklahoma City guys. You know, to me, the whole YRG thing's been a great workout for the past 2 years. I don't know if I should, Robert, you tell me if I should wait for Dallas or if I should, you know, tell you how I got into YRG.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead with that. He's calling back in right now, so let's go ahead with that.
All right. What happened for me is, you know, Dallas and I have a lot of similarities. We've kind of clicked since we first started to talk, but one of the similarities we have is we both started a very physical career at, like, age 35. I mean, you know, Dallas says wrestlers are retiring at age 35. And firefighting guys have 10 or 15 years on by the time they're 35, so I was just walking in the door. But after the events of September 11th, it's a career that I wanted to, you know, get into. So, you know, I'm trying to work out with the kids, and we're up here in the weight room, which is where I am now because there's nobody hanging out. And for the first time since high school, I bench pressed like 340. Yeah, so I'm feeling strong, you know. The next day, I get out of bed, and my wife is like, oh, my God, what's the matter? I'm limping. I'm practically hunched over. She goes, what happened? I said, I was trying to keep up with the kids. I said, but I did bench 300 pounds. She's like, I don't really care if you can't walk. And I said, you know what? She's got a point. So I made my way to the computer, and I started looking around for, you know, different things. You know, what can I find online? I got to drop some pounds. I got to, you know, improve my health. I need a workout that's not going to destroy my joints. And I saw this little banner ad. I forget what site it was on. I honestly, I think it was Weight Watchers. And I was like, hey, I recognize that guy. There was Diamond Dallas Page and YRG. I go, oh, let me check that out. Now, another similarity is my wife's been a huge yoga fan for years, trying to talk me into it, trying to get me to do it. I'm like, no, no way. And I'm glad that I can actually look someone in the face and say, I've still never done yoga. Because, honestly, you're never going to catch me in a position called happy baby, but I'll do dead bug all day long.
So, or happy porn star.
Or happy porn star, yeah. So, I take
I'm
on
glad
the
you got that. I'm sure Jim Bill picked up the slack while I was gone. Did he, Robert?
Yeah, we just talked about how he got into YRG.
Ah, tremendous, tremendous. So go ahead, Rob. I don't want to interrupt you. Keep going, Jimbo.
I start doing the workouts, and my wife didn't care. She didn't care what I called it. You know, happy baby, happy porn star, dead bug. She was like, yeah, that's fantastic. That's great. Keep going now. I'm flexible. My jeans are getting loose. Now, I start subscribing to everything Dallas is spilling out. I mean, there's no more bread in our house. We got a freezer full of buffalo meat. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, he says. She's like, oh, okay, well, whatever's keeping you healthy, keep going. You know, I'm only shopping the perimeter of the grocery store where all the fresh meat is, where all the vegetables are. You know, I'm not going down the aisle with the soda and the crap. So, she's on board. And then, I try to get her to do it once in a while. There's actually pictures of my wife and my five-year-old doing YRG, and it's been a great, not only just experience for me, but for my whole family. I mean, my wife gets to do it together. My kid does, the diamond cutter, but she doesn't. You should see her, like, try and hulk it out. She's five-year-old little girl going, very cool.
Very good, man. So, let me ask you a question, because I want to get into back to some of what I was talking about, what my day was like in Oklahoma City. But when you guys, like, you're there 24 hours, how often do you wake out of a dead sleep and hit the boards running? How often does that happen?
It's happened to me as many as 19 times in a night and as few as 0 times in a night. So,
did you say 19
times? Bro, 19
did you say
times,
19
yeah, had,
times, like, for real?
That's a 1-9, yeah. I've had 19 jobs in one night. Now, obviously, they weren't all, you know, big three alarmers, but, you know, you can't call back and say, is it really important? Do you need us? You just got to go. There's no half step.
Do you really
want
it? Is it really that important?
Yeah, can you check downstairs? It's not bacon in the broiler again, right, man? Like, it's a job. You need us. You just got to go, you know.
Right.
One, engine 3, engine 1, respond, wherever, and, you know, you roll. And then you get there,
right, so,
you know, and that's when you find out it's either nothing. And you know what? If I don't see another fire for the rest of my career, that'd be okay. I mean, it's an adrenaline rush, but they're dangerous, man. You know, I had my hand on. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. And that's one of the things that, you know, I talked about this. Every firehouse I went to, and I actually got to see one. I mean, literally the first night I was there, yeah, I slept at Danny's because Jimbo smartened me up. He's like, dude, I don't know if you're really going to want to sleep on those cots,
yeah.
You know, that these guys. Because basically it's like an army cot. You know, there's no comfort there on that in that sleeping area at all, because if anything, you're getting to lay down. Because you're getting paid to be there for 24 hours. That's how you see it, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and I mean, it's a job. It's not made to be, you know, you don't get a sleep-by-number bed. And you're in Atlanta, right? You're not in New York?
I'm in Atlanta now, but I live in Oklahoma City.
Well, my question is, you're not within 50 miles of where I am, right?
Right.
Okay, because you're a big girl when it comes to how you sleep. I know you need your comfy mattress and all that other shit, and, you know. And you know what? You're entitled to that. You put some time on your body. And I was telling Robert that one of the similarities between you and I was starting a physical career later than probably the average guy. And, you know, when it comes to sleep at the firehouse, even if I had my nice comfy bed from home, I rarely ever get a good night's sleep. The best night's sleep I ever had was after a fire, after a hot shower, laying in bed, and the bell didn't ring from, like, 4 in the morning to 7. It was the best 3 hours I ever got, and that's been within 6 years.
Wow. Well, you know, I got to see it there, and like I said, Jimbo smartened me up, Robert, so I didn't actually... You know, I didn't stay at the firehouse. I went all through them. I lived there pretty much at the time I was there, but I didn't sleep there. And the first night that I came in with to stay with Danny, he said, you know, if the bell rings, I'm out the door. You know, because that's his thing. He's you know, 72 hours. If he ain't away for the weekend, the bell rings, he's out the door. And sometimes if he's been drinking, of course, he's like he's passing. Like he's already, if he's off and he's had a couple, then he ain't going anywhere. But as a major, he pretty much goes on all the calls. Of course, the chief does too. So he said if we go, we got to bed around 11:30 or something, because I knew I had to be up at like 6:30. And I said, if the bell rings, do you want to go? I said, hell yeah, I want to go tonight. You know, and it was actually a pretty damn good fire. And those guys torched that thing. They lit it up with water pretty fast. And it was flames coming from both sides of the building. It was an apartment complex that was in a lower income neighborhood. And mm-hmm. those things, they look like to me. You light a match on them, and they're going poof. You know, so.
Yeah.
When you work in those areas like you do, it's tough, man, because you know, people lose everything, man. It's brutal, man.
You know, in the summer you get these wildfires. You know, like I see you get out in L.A., and, you know, I always call you and be like, listen, man, one phone call, you got your own fireman. I'll be there in a day. But the fact is, in the winter, for a lower-income area, that's when you got, like, kerosene heaters or all these electric heaters, and there's one in every bedroom, and they're all running off an orange power cord down the hall, and you know, you show up for medical knowing you're going to be there in the next week for a fire, because you know you're running probably 60 amps out of 120 volt system, and it's all running, five different systems are coming off one cord, and you're like, whoa, we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
You
never know what you're
going to
run into.
Well, when you dropped out, you didn't hear. Actually, we have Doug on the line too.
Oh, I got Dougie too.
Yeah,
I was hoping to have Doug to come on here, because I was going to talk about the, you know, being injured and stuff. And so if you want to, you know, and being, you know, beat up and having to go from 0 to 60, and I knew that he would be, you know, a good, because he's had so many injuries. Jimbo, have you ever talked to Doug before?
Doug and I have traded a couple emails. He's given me some tips on some different things. I don't think we spoke in person, no. You're live, I should say.
Well, Doug, say hello to Jimbo.
We already did. Too late.
Dude, we covered that, man. We covered that. Where you been?
All right. Well, I was off that time. My head, I'm using Yoga Doc's phone, and I think my face hit the mute button, and I couldn't figure out how to unmute it, so I just hung up and recalled. Okay. So the bottom line is I'm good to have you on the line. I didn't realize how much I forgot what a talker Jimbo is, too, you know. And we had enough to cover this, but in case that Doug gets to throw anything in, go for it. But let me tell you about what happened while I was in Oklahoma City. Every time Danny would give the prelim, you know, tell the guys how I end up there, you know, which basically is that Danny had to, you know, bought the program himself, and it worked for him and cured his back and knee pain, lost 34 pounds, and helped his flexibility, you know, his core strength, the whole deal, and then basically told how, you know, how I came to be there, which I said, I want to be there. And, you know, I told the story, and I told you this before, Jimbo, I know you know this, you know, back when I was over as hell, back in the 90s, all the so many little kids, you know, with the idolism things would come up, oh, my God, DDP, DDP, you're my hero. And I would always answer that question exactly the same. I shouldn't say question, that response. I would always respond to that the same. And I'd say, well, thank you, man, I appreciate that. Or thank you, little buddy, I appreciate that. And I'd say, you want to know who my heroes are? And they'd be, cool, who's your heroes? And I said, the men and women who served in the United States Armed Forces and firemen. Those are my heroes because they're the people who lay themselves on the line every day to protect you. And, you know, and it was the truth, too, you know, because a little kid, you know, I was a little kid, I wanted to be a wrestler, I wanted to be a fireman. You know, but how many little kids didn't, you either want to be a fireman or a cop, you know, when you're a little kid or a cowboy, you know. But, you know, so to actually win with these guys and, you know, that's how I started everything. So if anything, when I walked in the door, Jimbo, you'll appreciate this. You know, here comes Diamond Dallas Page, and I just friggin' walk up to every single one of them. And, you know, and she says, what's your name? And, of course, they all give me their last name. You know, being Jim, Doug being from the military and you being from the fire department, you know it's all last names. And I always say your first name, Jim, Bill, Eddie, Ted. And I'd say, I'm Dallas Page. Nice to meet you. Pleasure. So this way I knocked all that off. Then I told them my story about, you know, the kids and the hero worship. And so that knocked off another thing. And then I just started telling them how it all came to be. And, you know, you guys all know that song and dance, which is truth. And then I got to the point where I was talking about holding back the hands of time and how I was the first guy to ice my body, you know, in professional wrestling, and everybody laughed at me. And, you know, and I know I'm looking around these guys and nobody ices their body there, you know, unless like some PT tells them to, you know, and I was explaining how important icing your body is. Well, not just that, you know, chiropractic, deep muscle massage therapy, organic juicing, healing yourself from the outside and the inside with proper nutrition, you know, and then, you know, I get through all the things. I show them, you know, how my heart rate goes up from 80 to 120. And Doug, remind me to tell you the story about Kevin, Reverend Kev today about the heart rate. So I show them all the stuff, you know, I show them my flexibility, the foot over the head, and then I show them, of course, show them Arthur. You know, and then I got them, you know, and they're right there. And you, Doug knows because we both wear them. But, Jimbo, have you seen those they're called five-finger toes. They're Vibram. People are running in them. They're like feet. They cover your toes, but individually. Have you seen those yet?
I have seen them. Shoes that look like gloves?
Right. Yeah. So I have those on. Walking into the fire department. So, of course, no one's saying anything because I'm there. But I know sure as hell when I leave, they're going to go, did you see what the hell he had on his feet? What the fuck was he thinking? I know they're, you know, just waiting for me to leave so some wise ass could say that, right? So at some point, I pick up my foot at the end of it. I go, and I'm sure most of you are looking at me going, what the hell does he have on his feet? And the one place I said, what kind of gay paraphernalia is that? And one guy goes, you said it, I didn't. I said, no shit, but you were going to say it as soon as I walked out of here. You know, and I said, just so you know, these are the greatest things for your feet on the planet. I said, I've been wearing them for the last 5 days, and I haven't taken them off since then during the day. At night, if I'm wearing, you know, sneakers or whatever to go out to dinner or something. But if I'm walking around during the day, I'm wearing those Vibram, the new ones I got. And I know Dougie got them, too. But they are phenomenal for your feet. And then when I tell them, and I don't know if you know this, Jimbo, have you heard of the mega marathons where they run? They don't run 26.1 miles or 26.2, whatever that is. They run 100 miles. Have you heard about that?
No. I guess people don't look at me and say, there's a 100-mile guy. He'll do that. Yeah.
But I didn't even know it existed. But I found out that the people who run these 100-mile races run them barefoot.
Wow.
Our feet weren't meant to have especially steel-tipped toes, you know, on their boots like you guys have to wear. But I was explaining to them, you guys aren't using your toes, especially in steel, what is it called, steel-toed boots?
Steel-toed boots, yeah.
Right. But you need them for your job, because, God, who knows what's falling down on your foot. And it could be anything. It could be a whole freaking ceiling. It could be a wall. It could be cement. Who knows? So you want those steel toes. But once you get out of them, and I picked them up and I showed the guys, I said, you want to be having these things on your feet. So long story short, I made them laugh, and I got out of it actually turned out to be 7 fire stations I would do. The last one would be at the training center, and then we do YRG together. And I'm going to put all the pictures up here. They'll probably be put up here by the time this is aired on, because Robert and I are going to do something later tonight to put some pictures together up and a little thing about the same thing I have on Facebook. You can see the whole article and the pictures that I put up there.
I was looking at the pictures. I saw them on Facebook today.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Yeah. The guys were in it, man. Somebody put, it looks like a dance. You know, one of the comments. And it all sort of is. You know, it's a physical dance that you get flexible and you build your core strength. So it was really cool that we did it 2 nights in a row. I did the firehouses, so a total of 14 times. And it was a great experience getting to know all these guys, and I know I touched a lot of them, and a lot of them really got it. As a matter of fact, we have 2 of them signed up on Team YRG so far. I didn't look today, but as of yesterday, we had 2 of them signed up there, and under the OKC firefighters. So we'll see how it goes as it goes along. But one of the guys, I got to tell you this, Jim, you'll appreciate this. We were going to, it was our 3rd firehouse. And as I was getting out of the truck, the deputy chief walks up to Danny, shakes his hand, shakes my hand. He goes, as we're walking in the door, right, he goes, now, Diamond, you know these are firemen, right? And they're not always, they like to rib a little bit. They like to, they might be, and I go, hey. I looked at him before he even tried to tell me that, you're in a tough room. I looked at him. I said, I don't care what they say. I said, before I walk out of here, I'll have them eating out of my hand. Now, this is a true story. We get in the freaking truck after the thing. We head to the next. We're going to lunch then before we do the next 4 stations. And the chief was so excited. He called up Danny and he said, Major, I have never seen 40-year-old men as pumped up to do a workout as these guys are. He goes, you've changed lives in this house tonight. And that's the big thing I was looking to do. I was looking to explain to these guys that I personally appreciate what you all do. And when you get to the end of your run and you got that 20 years in or that 25 or 30 or whatever the hell it is, you want to be able to enjoy your life then. You don't want to be so beat up. And I had a bunch of them, and you know this is true, Jimbo. I had a bunch of them come up to me and say, if I get that operation on my back or I get the operation on my shoulder, they'll fire me.
You only get so many pictures, man, and when you use them up, what are you going to do?
Right. They'll let them go, So you don't want to have that, So they keep working through it. So this is the way they can work through the pain.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. Now, Robert, remind me about that spot right there, okay, when we get done with this conversation. So what the hell else do I want to talk about? Let's talk about the 5-finger toes that we were talking about. Doug, you went and got them, am I correct?
Yes, I did.
And what do you think about those compared to the other ones we had?
Oh, I love them. They're so much better because the other ones felt like you actually stepped on it. When you stepped on a rock, you could actually feel it. These fit phenomenal, and you are right. They're so comfortable. And I've been wearing them over the weekend. I wore them everywhere, and everybody was kind of looking at me. And that's why I actually ran into a guy in Whole Foods, and I sent you a link. They actually sell the 5-finger socks. So
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
So I'm going to go down this weekend and get me a pair, and I'll let you know how those go. But those things are phenomenal. They are wonderful.
I'm trying to get a hold of the company right now because I want to be a spokesperson for them. Because never have I worn anything ever where one out of every 4 people say to me, what is that on your feet? Or, oh, God, those are so cool. What are they? Or they go, oh, there's those shoes. Oh, man, I saw that. I mean, everybody's got something to say. I mean, it's amazing to me. I want to get stock in this company. You know, but you can't buy it right now because it's not on the stock exchange. But I want to try to have my PR girl right now trying to get a hold of the people there and let them know that DDP wants to be a part of your program and stuff and get it out there. I just want stock. I don't want any money. I just want to push them because I think they feel great. It's that good. And Yoga Doc said that. He thinks they're great for people walking around because we weren't meant to, we were born in, through time, God gave us feet to walk on. He didn't think, God didn't think we were going to have shoes that were going to be so jammed, crammed, tight that you weren't going to use your toes. And now I watch old people walk, and you can see the ones who they don't use their toes because they walk on the middle of their foot.
Yeah,
and
that's bad.
It looks like they're walking on hot coals.
Yeah.
So they can't use those toes like that. I love them, man. And I can't talk enough good things about them because they feel great. But Yoga Doc said if you got fallen arches, you shouldn't be running them. So there's a guy who I think knows the body as good as anybody on the planet. So if you got fallen arches and you're listening to that, you sure don't want to be running them because people, they want to immediately do that. Now, I bet you if you're running on the beach with them, it'd be amazing.
That would probably even feel cool. Often where your feet would grip into the sand and whatnot, and they're covered.
Exactly. And you know how hot our sand can get too, man. So be another positive thing for summertime.
What would Yogi Doc think of those? I don't even know what they're called. I want to call them like Joe Montana sneakers with the curved bottom.
Oh, like Skechers Shape Ups?
Yeah, Shape Ups. Yeah, that's it. What's the deal with those?
I don't know. I'll ask him about that. He's actually, he's a rock and roll star, and he really is. He's really good at what he does.
Yes.
They're playing tonight, so that's why I moved the time up from 8 o'clock to 7, because they're loud, really loud. And they're down in the basement. And it's a big-ass house he's got, but it's still that music goes throughout the whole crib. And they got to stop playing by 11 because of the neighbors, and there's neighbors, like, really far from them. So that tells you how loud it is.
Wow.
So, Robert, how long have we been going on this show right now?
It's kind of hard to tell because we kind of staggered it, but I would say about 45 minutes.
Okay, cool. So today I'm working out let me just finish with the Oklahoma City Firefighters. It was a great experience. I think I definitely helped them with a lot of guys who have that pain and have that discomfort. I think they see the light. And I think Arthur's video helped a lot. I plan on going back there, in next 4 to 6 months. So, Jimbo, if you want to come out there with me when I go to do that trip, you're more than welcome to.
Being
a firefighter yourself,
there's a handful of really special fire departments, and I don't want to be a downer, but, Oklahoma City's definitely one of them, and I'd like to visit with those guys.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun to be with. And that sheet that I was telling you about that said, you might have a hard time here, Diamond, that called up and said, I've never seen people so, the 40-year-old men so pumped about a workout. He didn't come once. He came twice. And in 2 days, I already saw his flexibility starting to increase. And, of course, the strength, overall. But he's 48 years old, and his body is beat up. I mean, tell people here what kind of things beat your body up, like being on the job like that.
Man, almost everything.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
What am I wearing at the
moment? What are you wearing when you hit the job? When you walk out, when you run out the door, what are you wearing?
It depends on what piece of apparatus I'm assigned to. An apparatus is either the ladder, the ladder truck, the engine, the pumper, or we also run a couple ambulances. Everyone on my department is also an EMT. So if you're an EMT and you're assigned to an ambulance, you've got your turnout gear, which is your pants, coat, helmet, on the bus and, you know, in a compartment, but you can wear, you know, just your pants, shoes, and shirt and respond to a medical call. But if you're on the ladder, anytime you're rolling out, you've got your bunker gear on, you know, your fire gear. So,
and how much does that weigh? How much does that weigh?
Probably, with the pack, probably 40 pounds.
Just imagine wearing that heavy shit, and then give us the type of things that instantly, from the hose to the whole deal, because people don't realize the wear and tear you guys put yourself through. I mean, I did it because I was there, and then I saw the guys afterwards.
Yeah. You know, with anytime you get any kind of a job, you've got that gear on, you've got your pack on, and it's not just what you can see. In the pockets of my pants is 25 foot of rope, a pair of channel lock pliers, an extra pair of gloves, a knife, a wrench. You know, I probably, in addition to the 40 pounds that the gear weighs that they assigned me to try and make myself a little more productive and a little more safe, I added 10 or 15 pounds. So, you know, you're adding 40, 50, 55 pounds to your body weight. You know, and firemen aren't typically small guys. You're running up a ladder, maybe you're jumping off of something. It's a lot of impact. I know a guy that had to go off the job disabled because he had to jump off of something that was probably 5 foot high, but all the weight impacted one of the lower vertebrae discs that it ruptured, and he went off the job with an injury.
I've been there.
A lot of wear and tear. Yeah. Yeah, you have. You sure have. And, you know, just... I probably came on the job with not a great back, and, you know, I'd be limping around, and thanks to YRG, I'm no longer limping around. I don't even remember where that back pain exactly was. I just know I don't have it anymore, which is why I've started to, myself, go to a chiropractor and, you know, be a little more proactive.
Right, which is, you know, that's the whole thing I try to get people to understand. Preventative maintenance, you know, icing your body. Like when I do a really kick-ass workout, I ice my body. So I want to talk to you about today. I actually did a workout with Jamie. I don't even know Jamie's last name. He's new to Team YRG, but he came on from Reverend Kev. So, Doug, you'll be able to relate to this. When you first were working out,
Jamie Ray?
I didn't remember his last name. I knew his name was Jamie. And I just noticed Jamie because he lost 38 pounds in a month. You believe that, Jimbo? 38 pounds. Now, this kid is a vegetarian, just like Arthur was. So when you take out the wheat and dairy and you take out the processed food and the garbage, 38 pounds, poof, gone. And he'd already lost 20 before that. So, but
wow.
This month, doing YRG 5 days a week and phase three eating plan, he lost 38 pounds. Now, Jim Barton, if you know who this guy, Reverend Kev, is, but he's the guy who's breaking all the records as far as weight loss, but he's also 22. Jamie's 29. Kev is 22. He lost 32 pounds the first month, 28 the second month, 22 the third. He's on track.
What did he start at now?
305. 305 pounds.
He's already lost 90?
82 pounds. 32,
wow.
28, and 22. And his goal this month is to lose 18. If he loses 18, lose 100 pounds in 4 months. You know, I'll be like, wow. I'm already well anyway. But it's funny because when me and you first started working out, Doug, we only did it the first time when you came to that convention that we went to down there in Texas, and you couldn't get your heart rate over what?
I think it was around 110, 115, something like that. I couldn't get
Couldn't get it over it, right?
Yeah.
But when we worked out together, by the time we got done with Diamond Cutter Series, where was your heart rate?
I don't know, but it was going beep, 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 beep.
So Kev, all right, so Rev Kev, he's, you know, he's across from me. We're out in the sun. It's 10:30 in the morning. Jamie's to the right of him. and he gets his heart rate starting. He's at 90. And I said, so where do you normally get your heart rate? He goes, well, Donovan, I don't really get it past 120 or so when I'm doing the harder stuff. I said, really? I said, okay. So I took him to my different beginnings, how I start the workout now, because I'm always changing it. And by the time we got to the ignition, and we finished the touchdowns and the ignition, I said, where's your heart rate now? And he was vibrating. He was engaging so much, he goes, 150? I said, we ain't done nothing yet, Kev. He goes, I know.
Nice. That's right about where it's supposed to be, right? What'd you say, he was 28?
22. So he was up around
160.
Yeah, so he was up around 160. He even got up to 170s at one point. I said, that's where you disengage. And as soon as he disengaged, boom, now he's at 120. He said, engage again. So
yeah.
He really got it. We worked out today for an hour and 15 minutes in the sun, showed him some other positions, corrected him on some of their forms. This kid's really, and you know, anybody who puts the time in, you know, gets my time. And
sure.
They got to be putting the work in, though. And
yeah.
Both of these kids are. So, to me, I get all the time in the world for people like that. And anybody who's listening to this, if you're putting the time in and you're putting the work in and you're eating the way you're supposed to, the weight's going to come off. You know, it just is. But if you're not and you're half-assed in it, well, then I really ain't got the time. But if
yeah.
you got the work ethic, you know, the whole deal, you know, and that's what, to me, the guys – in the Oklahoma City Fire Department had. You know, for the chiefs that gotten behind this and actually the main chief of all 40 units, he came and actually worked out with us on the first night because he wanted to know, he wanted to feel it, and he put it over too. So I was really honored that he would show up and actually do the workout. You know, that's pretty big, Jimbo, for the main gazane to come there and do the workout with the rest of the boys.
Yeah, and you know, he's just the chief. You call him the chief. There's one chief of a department, and then you got different battalion chiefs or deputy chiefs. But if you have
right,
the chief
right.
there 2 days in a row, that's pretty good. Although if you had my chief there, it's a good thing the rest of us were all EMTs because he ain't doing the workout.
Well, you better hope he doesn't listen to this sometime.
Well, a good story for the Oklahoma guys. I told you one time I was about to go upstairs to work out. I was at
By the way, the background, if you hear the music in the background, that's Yoga Doc and Iron Mullet. We played some of our background music. Go ahead.
Nice. I was about to come upstairs to work out, and I wear my heart rate monitor, you know, almost religiously. I'd say I wear it daily. I change those watch batteries at least once a month. Well, I just changed my clothes. I put on my shorts and my sneakers, and we get a call. We get a hit. It's a working fire. I went out to the apparatus. I put my bunker gear on. We come back from the job. I'll make a long story short. We come back from the job. You know, I'm on the roof. I'm climbing a ladder. I'm carrying an axe, carrying a chainsaw. Cut a hole. You know, we get the fire out. I come back. Wring out my shirt. I mean, imagine a tough diamond cutter workout, double diamond workout. That's how hard this was. And I realized I had my heart rate monitor on the whole time. I had a low of 57 and a high of 205. I can't imagine my pump being 205 beats a minute. But the good news is, settings on my watch progressed. The average was around 130. Man, I was at a three-alarm fire. That's pretty good heart rate, given the fact, you know, the 205 might have been just running out the door because, you know, that's when you really go from 0 to 60, you know,
right.
Not knowing what you have. When you get there, it's like, oh, okay, this is how we're going to attack this.
Right, right. So let me ask you, Jimbo, and Robert just texted me this to make sure I ask you this. Like, when you get out of there, and I've seen the guys, and a lot of them are on one knee or two knees or, you know, almost in safety zone position. Is there any, like, particular exercises you do after you get out of that? You know, you might have to go back in, or is there anything that you do to open yourself up or anything like that, any the particular positions?
You know what I do? I do I try to get my heart lower than the majority of my body, almost like a stiff-legged bar back or a bent-legged bar back. I just kind of stretch out my back, and I lower my torso, and that'll bring my heart rate down really fast. Easy to catch my breath that way. And the good news is that's usually the position you're in when someone's changing your bottle. So when I run out of air and I'm coming out of the building, I go over to the engine, I do that, you know, bent-legged bar back, and I'm stretching my back and I'm wiggling. The guy on the engine is changing out my bottle, giving me a fresh one. You go get a cup of water.
Let me interject. Changing out your bottle, because I got to see the mask that you guys wear and how you get to see when you're running out of air and how important that is to have your bottle changed out. That's huge.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of – I'm also a scuba diver. I think you knew that anyway.
Yep.
So with scuba diving, you know, you got to reserve a little bit of air because – you know, you can't breathe underwater. At least I can't. Maybe you can, Superman. But in a fire, it's the same thing. Like, you know, you can't breathe all that smoke and gas and all that shit. So you come out of a building, somebody's changing out your air tank, and I'm doing this, you know, bent like a bar back. So I like to do that. I'll stretch. I'll sit down. And, you know, basically, wherever my crew is where I am. If we're, you know, two doors down, catching a breath, having a bottle of water. You know, you take your gear off so your body doesn't overheat. Wring your shirt out if you have one on or, you know, if you can. Put it back on, have some water, hydrate yourself, stretch, and, you know, wait for your next assignment.
No, that's cool. I could definitely see it. I think catcher would help, too. I think catcher into bent-legged bar back, folding forward. I think that would help. Rolling up. I think some diamond cutters would help, too. You know, just even some touchdown, just getting that stretch. But I definitely agree with you on the folding forward part. You know,
I'll have to check that out, trying to do a diamond cutter with the pack on, because I'd hate to lean back and then end up
I'm talking about after you have that off, you smartass. Okay, man. Well, this is good, man. This is good stuff. Is there anything you want to add, Jimbo, to all this? Because you heard some of the stuff I guess I was talking about coming in. Is there anything you want to add to close this out?
No, man. I just think it was great. I'm glad you enjoyed your time with the fire department. You know, you're welcome to join me with my guys here.
Say what?
Did you do the dishes after you ate? I told you, if you don't cook, you've got to do the dishes.
No, I actually never ate there. I never ate there. I ate at Danny's place. And we were so much on the go, 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 we didn't have time. Guys were cleaning up as I was walking in. But, man, my shit was all talking and inspiring, so I didn't have time to eat nothing there. But I do want to mention, I will be in your neck of the woods. I will be coming. I think I'm going to come into New York a day or two early, because I've got a couple interviews up there, and then I'm going to go to see my family in Jersey, and then heading down to, are you going to be off that weekend by any chance, the 22nd, I should say 23rd and 24th, that Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, oh, dude, I'm actually not, but I got a buddy covering for me, so I didn't even have to use a vacation day. He owes me a 24th, so he's working for me. I booked my room already,
okay,
so
cool.
I'm staying at the hotel. And
cool.
So if I would have been working Saturday, that means I'm off Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. If you need a rider, you want to hook up, you count on me. And let's see, if I would have been working Saturday, I'm off Sunday,
Monday.
Maybe
I'll come down with you or something. Maybe I'll come down with you. I know Doug might come up for it as well. Waiting to find out if my buddy Marlon's coming in. But, you know, spread the word as much as you can to try to get some of the guys that you notice to come down there too, because, you know, $15 goes to charity. That's going to be another two more weeks. We're going to be down there on the 23rd and 24th at the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, so it's going to be a good time, and a lot of MMA fighters are there. And I'm hoping to, because the early workouts will be beginning to intermediate at 11 o'clock, and then the 4 o'clock is going to be the warrior workout. Now, I will have modifications to that, but I'm hoping to get, you know, some of those, you know, MMA fighters in that class. I'm really hoping that Frankie Edgar comes by. You know, he's the world champ, he's from Toms River, and then you got Pellegrino, who's from my hometown, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Hoping to see him down there, too. You know, hopefully we'll get involved. If not, you know, there'll be enough people there now. So we'll get a good work on out anyway. So that's the 23rd and 24th in Atlantic City at the Taj Mahal. And I want to let anybody who knows who's listening in the L.A. area or coming to L.A. this Saturday, I will be at the sports park right out there where Doug was out there, worked out with us last time. So going to be at the park at 10 o'clock and heading back to L.A. Matter of fact, by the time you listen to this, I will be on my way home. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Go to the front page of Team YRG. If you're not a member already, you can become one. It doesn't cost anything. And I really love that a lot of the people here who have come on and working hard are trying to welcome people on, because the fastest way to achieve your goal is to invest your time in some of the people who are on the site. And what I mean by that is paying it forward. You know, so many people I've helped to achieve their goals, and anytime that they can get on there and be a part of it, I think it continues to motivate yourself and to move yourself forward. And, you know, it's really great because now I'm seeing sometimes 10 people will welcome somebody coming on. That's really cool. You know, I look for the day when, you know, you see like 20, or once this thing blows up and there's 50 people welcoming people, I mean, that's when it takes on a life of its own. And it really encourages people to, you know, to feel as good as they can. I want to thank Doug for say what?
I wanted to ask Jimbo something. Well, first I want to say thanks for putting your life on the line all the time. You know, being in the military, I've been around that way too many times. But also,
sure.
I know I came on late, and I believe you, was it the time, I don't know if you put a blog or a story about stepping through a roof. Did you already talk about that, or am I just?
No, we didn't. That's a good idea.
I remember you mentioning about how YRG helped you, and I said, because I didn't know if I missed it or not.
Yeah, no, I remember you did respond to that blog. You guys want to hear that story? We got time for that story?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll finish
about 5 minutes left.
All right, so you kind of got to be familiar with YRG and be in a scared shit situation. So if you can combine those two, then you'll get this story. I'm assigned to the ladder. So the ladder basically is responsible for vent and search. We go in the building, you search fire room, fire floor, floor above, and then you go to the roof and, you know, you do your ventilation or you break windows. It's really a lot of fun. It's a cool job. Anyway, I climb the ladder. I got the captain with me. He's carrying the saw. I got an axe. I can't name names, but he pulls the rope out of the saw. So now
he pulls what?
Roof. He pulled the rope. I got a chainsaw with me because we got to cut a hole in the roof for vertical ventilation. You know, smoke goes up. So if you cut a hole in the roof, the smoke will leave the building. He pulled the rope out of the saw. So now I give him a one unit piece of equipment, and he's got two pieces of equipment. Now it's useless. Luckily, I brought the axe with me. I take a step back. I go to swing down into the roof. My foot goes through. I'm like, holy shit. So I pull my foot out. You know, of course, the captain's like, oh, way to go, Jimbo. So I pull my foot out, and up comes black smoke, fire. You know, I'm like, damn, what if I went through there? Now, imagine you got your foot through a building of a house that's on fire, or through a roof of a house that's on fire. Immediately, I spread my arms out into like a T to make myself as wide as possible so I don't go through the rafters of the roof. Now my arms go up almost instantaneously as if I've been trained to do it, and I'm in like superstar on the roof of this burning building. That's when I pulled my foot out, and that's when the smoke and the fire came out. And, man, I wasn't wearing a heart rate monitor that day, but I can only imagine what my ticker was at.
Yeah, you might have redlined on that one.
Yeah, I might have redlined it on that one, but I thought that was it. So, you know, man, when I say, you know, and I don't try and stroke you, you know, I'm a pretty straightforward guy, but I can honestly say YRG has saved my life, and it might even just be on that one day. If I die of a heart attack tomorrow, and who knows, I know I didn't die that day because I had the leg strength, at least in one leg, to pull myself up and get my foot out of that hole.
Well, that's what it's all about, brother.
Roger that.
Making it to that next day, you know, and getting through that one and just keep moving forward, and no matter how many adversities you get hit with. And anybody who's listening to this, they may not have stuck their hole, you know, in the top of a roof and had to pull it out, but they've had some other adversity where they've fallen down and had to get back up again. And, you know, that's what the program's all about. That's what Team YRG is all about, helping each other get back up again and keep moving forward. And, you know, I so many times say that, you know, when I was wrestling, you know, and living that dream, it was like the coolest thing I'd ever done in my life. You know, up until now, and I honestly believe that, you know, what I'm doing now, what I'm a part of now with all these different people is by far the coolest thing, because it's changing lives on so many different levels. And I don't think there's anything better than that. And it's not just me doing it. It's the team doing it and people helping each other. And, you know, it's just one hand helps the other. And, you know, it just keeps moving like that. So I'm going to close out here. Got any more questions or anything? Robert, you got any questions? Are we going to wrap it up?
Yeah, well, we're about out of time, so we don't have much of a choice.
Okay. All right, well, let's wrap it up. I want to thank Doug for coming on and having a little bit of an insight here and there. I know he came in late. I want to thank Robert for hosting my other side to me here today. And, of course, Jimbo, the fireman, will be looking for you a little bit more action on Team YRG. Now that I know you're, when you're working at 24, when you're not ringing the bell, you got time to get on the Internet. And,
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
And connect with a few people.
It's all training.
It's all training, not all the time. I'm going to come down here and ask Yogi Doc what song we're going to go out on here. I'm walking downstairs. Hey, Doc, what song are going to go out on? We're going to be playing over the end of the thing here. Give me a good song to go out on right now. Right now, go out now. I got Yogi Doc in the background. We've got Iron Mullet. And come on, what are you talking about? Well, I'm live. I'm live on the show right now. It's being taped. Give me anything. Give me anything that's hot, smoking hot. Iron Mullet. This is Yogi Doc and Iron Mullet featured in the background. We're going to play it right down to the end. I want people to hear this guy's working hard, man. He's taking a moment with a good walk through the house. Turn
again! Turn again! Turn again! Turn again! I want to tell you a story about a woman I know.
Wonderful, you've been marvelous, but see ya!
You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me!